It's October the 23rd today, and I have a message here called Israel, Is Israel Part of Babylon? Modern Israel. In the Church of God, they understood correctly, I believe, that this nation and others affiliated with it are indeed part of modern Joseph. And Babylon was something that was going to happen in Europe, and it was an end time event, and it's yet to occur. Is that true? Because it does influence the way we would understand things. If we go to the book of Revelation, Revelation 17, and we'll read verses 7 through 18. John had just seen something. The angel said to him, "Why do you marvel? I'll tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. The beast that you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not, and yet it is." So we're told here that those people whose names are written in the book of life will be able to differentiate this and will understand what is occurring. It says, "Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. Five are fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. The beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth, and is of the seven, and is going to perdition. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. They have one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast." So we have a rise of a system, both religious and secular. And we're told in verse 14 that these will make war with the Lamb. So you can see the two opposing sides here. "And the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful." From other passages we've looked at, we know who that is. And the ecclesia, resurrected at the time, will be there with Christ when that battle happens. That would be an amazing thing, where you see the two systems opposed to each other. I want to focus on today is this ungodly system that Satan actually makes. If we go across to verse 18, or chapter 18. "After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, 'Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury.'" So here you see a world-influencing empire that all of the nations are actually drawn into, and it is the ungodly system of Satan going on. "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, 'Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues.'" So it would be incumbent upon us to know whether we're actually in it or not. "For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, 'I sit as queen, I'm no widow, and I'll not see sorrow.' Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine. And she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her." There's a directive to God's people to come out of this Babylonian system. And God is going to judge that system. There's a description of the system if we go on here in Revelation 18. Let's go on, pick it up, and read the balance of the chapter. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her, this Babylonian system, will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, "The great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come." There's going to come a time when that whole system will just be smoked. And here we have a description of it. The merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Gold and silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of the most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble, cinnamon and incense, fragrant oil, frankincense, wine, oil, like the whole thing. Verse 14, the fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, "Alas, the great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour such riches came to nothing." Every shipmaster, all who traveled by ship, sailors, and as many who trade on the sea, stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, "What is like this great city?" And they threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing, saying, "Alas, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she's made desolate. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her." Some years ago, when we were at a feast site down in the States, a fellow by the name of Jim Rudd said, if Christ returned in the next 5 years, who would the beast power have to be? What we just looked at was a globe-girdling economic system where everybody was into the soup. Well, if that was 150 years ago, you would have to say, well, that's Britain, because she controlled a globe-girdling world economic system. And today, it would be the United States with the reserve currency of the world. It fits perfectly. And Jim's point was, if it happened right now, who does the beast power have to be? If it happened in 50 years, and we are morphing into something different right now, and if we can't see that, we might want to go to a different optometrist and get our lens changed out so we can see. But I thought his point was very well taken. We don't know when that time is, but if it happened right now, there is no other answer. You have a world economic system that does all of these things, and it's all held within the context of the greater American dollar hegemony. That's where we're at. Now, we'll just read the balance of this chapter. A mighty angel took up a stone with a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, "Thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found any more. The sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, trumpeters shall not be heard in you any more. No craftsman of any craft shall be found in you any more, and the sound of the millstone shall not be heard in you any more. The light of a lamp shall not shine in you any more, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall not be heard in you any more." When God takes this down, it is going to be complete. "For your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by your sorcery all the nations were deceived." Everybody bought into the soup. "And in her was found the blood of prophets and saints and of all those who were slain on the earth." And I've wondered about that, the fall of this system, for a long time. And when Jim made that comment to me those years, a couple, 3 years ago now, I thought, you know, there's something to that. If we go to Daniel 2, where Nebuchadnezzar had his dream, and he saw some pretty marvelous things. And we'll pick it up in verse 1. "In the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit We've talked a lot about spirit lately. It's the seat of our intellect. Was so troubled that his sleep left him. And then the king gave the command to call the magicians, astrologers, sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king, and the king said to them, I have had a dream, and my spirit, his seat of intellect, is anxious to know the dream. Take away that spirit that God has given us, and we'd be just a wreck. The spirit is the seat of our intellect. And Nebuchadnezzar was playing for keeps here. He wasn't going to suffer any fools. We go down to verse 10. The Chaldeans answered the king after he said, hey, tell me the dream. Tell me what it means. And the Chaldeans answered the king and said, there's no one, not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such things of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. It's a difficult thing that the king requests, and there's no other who can tell it to the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this reason, you know, that was the answer he got, and the king wasn't particularly pleased with the answer. For this reason, the king was angry and furious and gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So all the marbles are on the table here. So the decree went out, and they began killing the wise men. And they sought Daniel and his companions to kill him. So talk about being in a rough spot. I mean, that's, I wouldn't be a set of shoes I'd be wanting to walk around. And God, ultimately, as we walk through this, he reveals the dream to Daniel. Daniel describes the dream to Nebuchadnezzar, and then he interprets it. So if we go to verse 27 of Daniel 2, Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, magicians, soothsayers, cannot declare to the king. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. And after listening to Mark's sermon the other day, I thought, isn't that interesting here that you have Daniel. Who did he give the glory to? Right up front. To God. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. As for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while on your bed about what would come to pass after this, and he who reveals secrets has made known to you what will be. But as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me because I have any more wisdom than anyone living. But for our sakes, to stop what would happen to them if they didn't know it, who make known the interpretation to the king that you may know the thoughts of your heart. You, O king, were watching, and behold, a great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. This image's head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while the stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away so that no trace was found of them. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. So we can see in Revelation, there's a whole system that's crushed. And we see in Daniel 2, the same system being crushed. It's an extension of Babylon through the years. And we'll go on and we'll read a little about it. Let's notice this. This is the dream. So he showed him what he saw. Now here's the drill. Verse 37. You, O king, are king of kings. For the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field, and the birds of heaven, he has given them into your hand. And he's made you ruler over them all. You are this head of gold. But after you shall arise another kingdom, inferior to yours, then another, a third, which shall rule over the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything. And like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others. And whereas you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, The kingdom shall be divided, yet the strength of iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. As you saw the iron mixed with clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. Or was that not the exact same thing we read about in the book of Revelation? I would say that those equate. And it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold. The great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. As I mentioned before, the COG has long felt or has looked for a rising European power to fulfill this. And with the British Commonwealth countries in the USA being Joseph, we couldn't possibly be Babylon while we were Israel. So we're still looking for something someplace else. Would we recognize Babylon if we saw it? Would we even begin to know what to look for? God does give us a definition of Babylon in Jeremiah 50. And we'll just take this one section of scripture out here, because he does tell us what to look for in this passage. A sword is against the Chaldeans, verse 35, Jeremiah 50, says Jehovah, against the inhabitants of Babylon, against her princes, her wise men. A sword is against the soothsayers, and they will be fools. A sword is against her mighty men, and they will be dismayed. A sword is against their horses, against their chariots, and against all the mixed peoples who are in her midst. And they will become like women. A sword is against her treasures, and they will be robbed. So we know this is talking about anciently Babylon and Chaldeans. But it tells us a description here in verse 38 that I think is useful. A drought is against her waters, they will be dried up. For it is the land of carved images, and they are insane with their idols. It tells us what to look for in something modeled on Babylon. God describes Babylon as a land of carved images, and they're insane with their idols. Now that's interesting. Keeping that in mind, a description of Babylon, let's go to the little book of Micah. Micah 1. Where we'll just read what it happens to say here. We'll read Micah 1, verses 1 through 7. The word of Jehovah came to Micah of Moresheth in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. In my Bible it says, the coming judgment on Israel. Hear, all you peoples, listen, O earth, and all that is in it. Let the Lord God be a witness against you, the Lord, from his holy temple. For behold, the Lord, the Father, is coming out of his place. He will come down and tread on the high places of the earth. The mountains will melt under him, and the valleys will split like wax before the fire, like waters poured down a steep place. All this is for the transgression of Jacob, and for the sins of the house of Israel. What is the transgression of Jacob? Is that not Samaria? And what are the high places of Judah? Are they not Jerusalem? Therefore I will make Samaria a heap of ruins in the field, places for planting a vineyard. I will pour down her stones into the valley, and I will uncover her foundations. What is the foundation of this society, of Israel and Judah's system? All her carved images shall be beaten to pieces, and all her pay as a harlot shall be burned with fire. All her idols I will lay desolate, for she gathered it from the pay of a harlot, and they shall return to the pay of a harlot. In Revelation 18, the woman is referred to as a harlot. And here in this passage, we see Israel and Judah exactly like Babylon. And that should come as no surprise, because Israel and Judah, for the most part, there were glimpses of where they worshiped God. But who did they follow? Baal. And you got two systems. You have gods, and you got Baals. There's no other systems. And so here we have, in Daniel 2, the stone coming down, in Revelation, where this system is destroyed. And you see exactly the same thing in Micah 1, where the system is destroyed, and who is in it up to their ears? None other than God's people. If we go to the Zephaniah, and we'll read verses 1 through 18, the book of Zephaniah, we read exactly the same thing. The word of the Lord which came to Zephaniah, the great day of the Lord. I will utterly consume everything from the face of the land, says Jehovah. I'll consume man and beast, birds of the heavens, fish of the sea, the stumbling blocks along with the wicked. I will cut off man from the face of the land. I will stretch my hand out against Judah and against the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And what's he going to do? I will cut off every trace of Baal from this place. The names of the idolatrous priests with the pagan priests, those who worship the host of heaven on the housetops, those who worship and swear oaths by Jehovah, but they also swear by Milcom. I mean, they invoke Christ's name and they're worshiping Baal with the whole Christmas, Sunday, Easter thing. This is God's people. Those who have turned back from following Jehovah and have not sought him or inquired of him, be silent in the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand, for the Lord has prepared his sacrifice. He's invited his guests. And it shall be in the day of the Lord's sacrifice, I will punish the princes and the king's children, and all such as clothed with foreign apparel. In the same day I will punish all those who leap over the threshold, who fill their masters' houses with violence and deceit. Where would you expect that kind of a spiritual attitude but in Babylon and buying into the principles of Babylon? There'll be on that day, says Jehovah, the sound of a mournful cry from the fish gate, a wailing from the second quarter, and a loud crashing from the hills. Wail, you inhabitants of Maktesh, for the merchant people are cut down. All those who handle money are cut off. Does this seem to be saying exactly the same thing as Daniel 2 and Revelation and Micah? I believe it does. The purging will be so complete, it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish the men who are settled in complacency, who say in their heart, the Lord won't do good, nor will he do evil. Therefore their goods shall become booties, and their houses a desolation. They shall build houses, but not inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards, but not drink their wine. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There the mighty men shall cry out. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet and alarm against the fortified cities and against the high towers. I will bring distress upon men. They shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord. They've gone the way of Baal. They've gone the way of Babylon. Their blood shall be poured out like dust and their flesh like refuse. Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he will make speedy riddance of all those who dwell in the land. And all of these things certainly seem to tie in and refer to a similar event. If we go to Zechariah 14, and we'll read verses 1 and 2. It says, behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. I will gather all nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city will be taken, the houses rifled, and the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off. God is going to, when he comes down, clean up the mess, but he's going to allow other nations to come against his people. Why? Because they're in Babylon up to their ears. Hosea 5. Let's rewind this down. If I can find the book of Hosea. That the message is consistent throughout the pages of the Bible that at least I had looked at. Hosea 5, we'll read verses 1 through 16. Hear this, O priests, take heed, O house of Israel, give ear, O house of the king, for yours is the judgment, because you've been a snare to Mizpah and a net spread on Tabor. The revolters are deeply involved in slaughter, though I rebuke them all. I know, Ephraim, and Israel is not hidden from me. For now, O Ephraim, you commit harlotry. Israel is defiled. They're committing harlotry. Which god were they following? Baal and the Babylonian system. They do not direct their deeds towards turning to their god, for the spirit of harlotry is in their midst, and they do not know Jehovah. The pride of Israel testifies to his face. Therefore Israel and Ephraim stumble in their iniquity, and Judah also stumbles with them. We're all in the soup here. With their flocks and herds they shall go to seek the Lord, but they're not going to find him. He has withdrawn himself from them. They have dealt treacherously with the Lord. They have begotten pagan children. You know, we look around here. What financial system do we have in this nation and in America? It's the Babylonian money system. What is the religion of these people? It is the Babylonian mystery religion. And do we have the corruption and the defilement of this nation exactly like you would expect in Babylon? It just, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck. And we're told here in verse, the latter part of verse 7, now a new moon shall devour them and their heritage. And if we understand that correctly, when God comes down and he's going to lay the wood to his people because they've gone the wrong way, in 30 days, she's all over. Blow the ram's horn in Gibeah, the trumpet in Ramah. Cry aloud at Beth-Aven. Look behind you, O Benjamin. Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel, I make known what is sure. The princes of Judah are like those who remove a landmark. I will pour out my wrath on them like water. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment, because he willingly walked by human precept. Therefore I will be to Ephraim like a moth, and to the house of Judah like rottenness. They wanted their own way, followed their own way, human precepts, and they had no place for God. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah saw his wound, then Ephraim went to Assyria and sent to King Jareb, yet he cannot cure you, nor heal you of your wound. For I will be like a lion to Ephraim and like a young lion to the house of Judah. I, this is God speaking, even I will tear them and go away. I will take them away and no one shall rescue. I will return again to my place. He's going to return to Jerusalem. Until they acknowledge their offense, then they will seek my face, and in their affliction they will earnestly seek me. Did Israel and Judah follow God, or did they follow Baal? God is going to set up his kingdom with his system. And perhaps it's time to, we need to look at Israel and Judah for what they are in reality and not according to some doctrine. When we do that, our view of prophecy cannot help but change.